You're listening to Rhema for Today.
So the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, and we have that now, so we're in the kingdom of God now. Now. So then, see, we're not praying, thy kingdom come, because we're in the kingdom. Now, those folks that haven't entered in the kingdom might pray that. But the problem is that they keep on praying it and never get in the kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, What Jesus Taught About Prayer, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
Ephesians 4:32 said, But be ye kind, tender-hearted, one toward another, forgiving one another. How? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. See, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Or forgive us our trespasses in what we call the Lord's Prayer as we forgive those who trespass against us. But God didn't forgive us because we forgave him. He forgave us for Christ's sake. Amen? And then we forgive, not because folks forgive us or we forgave somebody. We forgive for Christ's sake. Can you see that? Now, you can only do that if you have been born again. Because you see what it said? Be ye kind, tender-hearted, one toward another, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Now, notice the next word. Three words. Even as God. Now, forgiving one another, even as God forgives. Well, God is love. Hallelujah. Love forgives. And you see, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, the scripture said, by the Holy Ghost. That's the reason I can forgive like that. Can you say amen? Now, listen. Notice here, in that 10th verse, thy kingdom come. Now, you see, here's a prayer that's praying and talking about when the kingdom comes. Now, some folks are still looking for the kingdom to come. But let's see what the Word of God said about the kingdom coming. Now, notice that's the kingdom of God. Now, turn with me to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter. And notice the 20th and 21st verses. And when he, that is Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Well, thy kingdom come. It must be the kingdom of God. You're praying to God, thy kingdom come. He was demanded of the Pharisees. Didn't say they just asked him. Amen. Demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. He answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo, here, in other words, here's the kingdom, or Lo, there, there's the kingdom. For behold, the kingdom of God is, what's that next word? Within you. Hallelujah. You're in the kingdom and the kingdom's in you. Praise God. Now, turn over to Colossians, the first chapter, and see here that Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. That is people who've come into the kingdom and the kingdom's in them. Now, notice what he said in the 13th verse, Who, that is the Father God, hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into what? the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now then notice, turn back to Romans for just a moment. We could give other scriptures, but I think these three are sufficient. Turn back to Romans, the 14th chapter, and let's notice the 17th verse. For the kingdom of God. Well, now that's plain, isn't it? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. What is it? But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Now look at the 18th verse. For he that in these things serveth Christ. In what things serveth Christ? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable of God and approved of men. So the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, and we have that now, so we're in the kingdom of God now. Now. So then, see, we're not praying, thy kingdom come, because we're in the kingdom. Now, those folks that haven't entered in the kingdom might pray that. But the problem is that they keep on praying it and never get in the kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, let's go just a little further here. Let's turn back here to Matthew now, where we were there. Let's read just a little bit further in this same chapter. That's the 6th chapter. And notice the 16th verse, moreover, when you fast. Now you see, he is still talking to them, the same subject, same desertion. He had said to them, when thou prayest, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. He said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Then when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. When you fast, be not as the hypocrites. See, this goes right along with praying. Well, now how do the hypocrites do? They are of a sad countenance. See, they want everybody to know I'm fasting. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. Now you see, in all of these areas of praying and fasting and so on and so forth, if we don't have a balanced view of what the Bible said, we do more harm than we do good a lot of times and mislead people. Well, does the Bible teach fasting? Well, yes. However, there are no instructions in the letters written to the church, there are no instructions about fasting. In fact, the church is not told to fast. Now, they are told to pray. Paul, in one of the letters written to the church, or churches, said, cease not to pray. Hallelujah. And again, instructions are given about prayer. Now, the only thing about fasting in the letters written to the church is that Paul just stated that he did fast. Amen? He stated that he did fast. In fastings often, he said. But why aren't there any instructions? Why aren't we told to fast in any of the letters? We're told to pray. Pray without ceasing. Amen, aren't we? We're told to pray. Paul, James, Peter, John, Jude. Every single one of them mentions praying in some form or another. Jude says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Glory to God. Amen. Peter talks about prayer from several different angles. One of them is from a husband and wife angle. We'll look at some of these scriptures in depth later on if we can get to them. He talks about husbands dwelling with their wife and honoring their wives. Now notice he made this expression, that your prayers be not hindered. Then evidently husbands and wives can hinder their praying. And husbands' attitude toward their wife can hinder their praying. Don't shout me down now just because I'm meddling. Well, I'm sure of this one thing. If a husband's attitude toward his wife could hinder their praying, a wife's attitude toward her husband could hinder their praying. John, then, has much to say about praying. This is the confidence that we have in him. We ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Glory to God. Amen. And then Paul, who wrote the most letters to the churches, again and again, as we pointed out, mentions about praying and encourages the church to pray. But neither Paul, nor John, nor James, nor Peter. I didn't quote James, so I better go back to James, our fifth chapter. You know, we're all acquainted with James 5:14. "Is any sick among them, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, knowing all the name of the Lord. Prayer, faith, save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sin, it shall be forgiven him." But next verse says, "Pray ye one for another." Pray one for another. That's just the layman, not the elder. "Pray ye one for another that you may be healed."
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth Hagin's book, God's Greater Glory, Bring Revival to This Generation. Next is Lynette Hagin's 3-CD series entitled, If I Can, You Can. Last but not least is Denise Hagin Burns' CD, Deep Roots in God. All these items are for the special price of only $35. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126. Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Denise Hagin Burns.
If you are interested in attending Rhema Bible Training College,
yes,
there's still time. We're still taking applications for this fall. You can go to rbtc.org and you can apply there.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, What Jesus Taught About Prayer. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore and also purchase other faith-building teachings. That's at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.